Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to be here with you. I got to explain the jeans. After years of not being invited to do a youth conference, I guess it's the age, I was invited to speak in London this past February. And when I got invited in November to go to London in February, I said, it's a youth conference. I'm an old guy. I went out and bought my first pair of jeans. I never wore jeans in my life, ever. I swore I would never wear jeans. Now I haven't taken them off since. So that's why the jeans are there, if you were wondering. Good to be with you this morning. Of course, it's a joy for Rosie and some of my family, grandchildren, to be here this morning with you. I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 14. I'm going to reference here an Old Testament story just for a minute, and then bring you to a verse that I memorized well over 30 years ago. And it's this particular story is found in Genesis chapter 14, and it starts out in verse 18. And if you just come in here, you'll know nothing about this unless you've studied the scriptures in the past, because it's going to introduce us to a person here called Melchizedek, kind of a strange person in appearance, and we don't see it again in the Old Testament, but we read about it again in the New Testament in Hebrews. But let's just look at this, and I'll try to put these two things together for you. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, professor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him a tithe of all. Now the king of Sodom said, Now the king of Sodom said to Abraham, "Give me the persons and take the goods for yourself." But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, "I had lifted my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, 'I have made Abraham rich,' except only what the young men have eaten, and the portion of men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion." And I'll go with me to 1 Peter and chapter 2. 1 Peter and chapter 2. And verse 9. And it says here, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who had not attained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do come before you, Lord, this morning. Thank you, Father, for thy word. I pray, Father, for each and every one that's come to here this morning. Father, you know every need in this place. You know all about us, Father. Father, we see it even when you sent Melchizedek to meet Abram after a battle to remind him of some things. And Father, surely, I think everyone in this room can identify, we all go through battles, difficulties, trials. And just at the right time, Father, you always send someone to encourage, to remind us, the Father of the great God of the universe who loves us and cares for us. Father, I pray this morning as we contemplate these things, O Father, that you might speak to hearts like you've spoken to mine. Father, that you might encourage us this time, that you might bless us, even for making the effort to come here this morning. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I have to tell you about two dates. I drive my wife crazy, you know, because I love history. I love going back. I came into town yesterday and I could tell you a story, I think, about every town in this house, every house in this town. Seriously. I don't know if it's just because I'm hanging around with Ralph or, you know, there's a story there. And I was thinking, like I often do, about two visits that occurred in my life. One was on October the 16th in 1982. I remember it like it was yesterday. And one that occurred on October the 22nd in 1982. And that's why I want to bring these. I hope you'll see this once we get started here. On October the 14th, I got saved in Timmins, Ontario, in Ralph Carr's basement. I struggled for a year, you know, with the things of God. I wrestled like you would not believe. The last thing in the world I wanted to become was a Christian. I mean that. For several reasons, you know, when I think back, I didn't want to change my life. I love my sin. I didn't want to break my dad's heart either. I knew it would. I knew from reading the Bible that this would demand a drastic change in my life. So I put it off, and 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 I was miserable. But the hound dog of heaven was after me. I thank God for that now, of course. And it just seemed that didn't matter where I turned, there was either a Christian or a Christian message that was being preached to me. On radio, people that I didn't even know, patients in the office. I couldn't get away from it, it seemed. And finally, after a real battle, I came to the end of my fight, and I made peace with God on October the 14th in 1982. On October the 16th, a colleague of mine, when he found out I got saved, he drove from Espanola to Timmins. He waited in my office in the days I used to work Saturday morning, and he waited there for me. When I come out, of course, I was shocked to see him, and he cried like a baby. He just wept. "Is it true?" he said. "Is it true?" I knew what he was talking about. Because I remember him in school. He was a Christian. I had a great amount of respect for him, even though I thought he was crazy. We went out for lunch. Did you ever read my book, Why Not to Get Into the Restaurant Business? Well, you should get it. But we used to have a restaurant. We went there for lunch. And he shared this verse with me, folks. I had no idea the blessings. I all I knew is that my sins had been forgiven. That's all I knew. I was new I was a new creation. But it was more than that. But I didn't know that. And he brought me to this verse. And he said, Tony, do you know this? And he asked me to do something. He asked me to memorize this verse. And I did. And it says this. But you are a chosen people. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A people belonging to God who has come to declare that you've come out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amazing. What? A priest. A royal priest. A chosen generation. Christian, I want to encourage you this morning. This is you. This is what Melchizedek was coming to tell Abram. Abram, listen to me. There's going to be someone that's going to come shortly after. He's going to entice you with the world. He's the king of Sodom. He's going to entice you. He's going to try, Abram, to bring you back to what you used to be. But let me encourage you, Abram. Let me encourage you that the battle that you just won wasn't the battle that you won on your own. It was the battle that God won for you. And God, the God of the universe, Abram, is your God. The God of the universe, Abram, loves you. The God of the universe, Abram, cares for you personally. You're chosen. A royal priesthood. A holy nation, a people belonging to God, to declare praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know what? I remember it was like yesterday. I walked out of that restaurant. Not only saved, because that was settled two nights before that, but I was different. I understood in a very small way that God had planned, who saw me before I was even born. The Bible tells you, Christian, that even before the world begun, God saw you. And he prepared his son to go to the cross of Calvary just for you and for me. You're special. You're special. And God has separated you. On October the 21st, I got a visit in my office. I thank God for the visit I got on October the 16th, because I was ready now for this visit on October 21st. You know what happened to me? The Bishop of Timmins came to see me in my office. I could almost smell there was something cooking. And as he faked an injury, it came out. He said, Tony, you broke your dad's heart. And you need to get your head screwed back on. I think I'm quoting him exactly. But you see, the visit of October the 16th had prepared me for that very moment. It didn't matter anymore. Because I had been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. I was prepared. I was never going back to the old Tony. I had made up my mind that I was going to follow Jesus Christ. That he had given me a special privilege to serve him. to approach him even. Christian, you have no idea the privilege that we have. That he has called us out of marvelous darkness. That was me. Out of darkness. I couldn't see it, folks. You know, I got an email the other day. It greatly disturbed me because it was from a colleague. The gospel had been shared to him. He sent me a note, and told me and others that what we believed was Peter Pan. What we believed was fairy tales. What we believed had no business being shared. And he was totally insulted by it. My initial reaction, of those of you who know me, is to argue. You wouldn't believe the arguments I had ready for this guy. I was ready to argue. I love arguing. But you know, I was reminded of this verse, called out of darkness. You know what? He couldn't see it. Folks, you share Christ with others, and that's what we do. They can't see it. They can't see it. That was me. I couldn't see it. I didn't understand it. That's the world out there, folks. The Apostle Paul says, to those who oppose you, you must gently instruct, in hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth, so that they come to their senses and escape the trap, listen to that, of the devil, who's held them captive to do his will. That's found in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 4. They can't see it. They're blind. You and I have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. You ever thought of the privilege of that? You know, I look at the world today. Does it surprise you? Are you surprised? Are you surprised by the decay of this world? This surprised me. God's told us these things. Isn't it beautiful to even understand that? If you just understood that, right? It just gives you a completely different worldview of things, doesn't it? You look at the world today, and it's deteriorating by the moment. And why is it surprising you? Well, for the world out there, they don't see it like that. They actually believe in evolution, so therefore things are getting better, and people are evolving, and they're getting smarter, and everything's getting better, although there's a few hiccups along the way. That's the way the world looks at things, right? I mean, look at the world's view is this, you know, if you just change people's environment, they'll get better, right? I mean, that's the world's view of things. But you and I, you know, I thank God for this every day. When I read the newspaper, I don't read the newspaper much. I'm on internet. I'm pretty hip, you know. You know, my grandchildren showed me how to do it. And I can read Canada Post or, you know, the Timmins Daily Press or whatever. I just do it online, right? Like, why buy these things? Anyway, it doesn't matter. But listen, when you look at these things, you go, okay, because the Bible, you can trust this book. You know why? Because it's very accurate, isn't it?
Because it just tells us, well, look, don't worry about it, because why does it surprise you? The world is never going to understand the things of God. Why, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have Christian apologetics. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have arguments with people or reason with people. But just understand, folks, they're blind. They can't see it. They can't understand it. I'm not a negative person by any stretch. But you know what? I don't put a lot of stock, do you, in this world? I don't care who gets elected. I love politics. I do. But whether it's liberal or conservative or NDP or whatever it doesn't matter, really, does it? That's not the solution. And so it gives us a difference because the light has come on. It's amazing. When I think of this verse, you are a chosen people, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, to declare praises of Him who's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Friend, He's called you out of darkness. You know what? Here's something. No physician will tell you this, but God, the great physician, will tell you this. He knows what's going wrong in the world. You know what it is? It's you and me. That's what's wrong. I like that. Don't you like when you go to a doctor and they go, well, you know what? You got a problem. And here's the diagnosis. It's you. What? Yeah, you're the problem. But that's the world. Guys, listen. Isn't it nice to know that? Because I like the fact that the light has come on in my life, and I realize that, you know what, most of the problems that I have, and it's true, come from me. The MRI said it. The MRI said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? For it there's no cure. You know what the problem is, folks? The problem is you. The problem is me. That's the problem. And I like to know that. Only the Holy Spirit, by the way, can convict you of that. To remind you. Because some people look at, I talked to a person in my office the other day. They said, I see you got a verse on the wall there. And you know who God is, he said. I said, no. He said, God's me. Well, I said, we're in trouble. But I didn't say that, okay? Because I was being, I was trying not to laugh. But seriously, he believed that. This person told me right to my face that you have a God up in heaven. That's a fairy God. But the real God is me. God is within me, he said. You know what I learned? There is a God, and I ain't Him. It's not me. Well, that's a start. Are you here this morning? Perhaps you've never come to Christ, and you're wondering these things, and you're scratching your head, and you're wondering because there's lots of voices out there, right? There's as Jim was saying in the first meeting this morning, there's a lot of different paths according to the world out there to get to God. Whether you're God or there's other gods or does it really matter? Well, you know what, folks? It does matter. It does matter. And when God called me out of darkness, I understood that the problem was me. I was separated from God. That God was a holy God. That God, you see, all my life, and I mean this, I had an image of God in my mind, And if there was a God, when I got to university, I wasn't so sure anymore. But when I was a kid, I thought there was a God. I thought he cheered for Montreal, unlike our friend here. I thought if I lit candles in the playoffs, that would help. And it seemed to when I was a kid. John, it seemed to. Because the Habs would win almost every year when I was a kid. So I said, okay, God. Seriously, I'm not kidding you. I was so superstitious. That was me. I was in darkness. I didn't understand these things. I thought God was like me. So when I got a little older and I started to tell dirty jokes and I was the life of the party, I thought God was enjoying that kind of stuff. I did, honest. He was one of the boys. Well, the psalmist says it, you know. It's found in Psalm 50 and verse 21. You know what it says there? You thought, you thought I was altogether like you. That's what God's saying. You thought I was like you. I'm not like you. You know what? Until the Holy Spirit comes and he opens up your eyes, you don't know what God is like. God's a holy God. God is a God who does not tolerate sin. God is a God, you might think this world is out of control, but I'm telling you folks, that God is a God that's in total control, and you know what? He is going to judge this world. There's something about having a healthy fear of God. You know what? I thank God. God gave me a little bit of hypoglycemia. You know what that is? Low blood sugar. It's often a precursor to diabetes. I had that condition. Rosie could tell you two stories of me literally acting like a crazy man because my sugars got down so low. But I had enough symptoms of that hypoglycemia. You know, one of them is the fluttering of the heart. And in my quiet time when no one knew, when no one understood, no one knew what I was thinking, I had a little flutter in my heart, and I would, you know what? I realize now it was God speaking to me. Tony, what happens to you when you die? Because I was a young man, 20, 21, 25, 26, 27. You know, you never think you're going to get to my age, right? And that's ancient, and you're an old man, and that's stupid, and you're crazy, and that's, you see, that's the way, you know what, God gave me enough of that symptom to scare me about, to at least think about, okay, what happens to you, Tony, when you die? That was from him, you know. Called out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know what, folks, all my life, let me tell you something, all my life, until I became a Christian, you know what? I had a cross in every bedroom, I think, that I ever slept in as a kid. I had a cross in every classroom that I ever attended as a kid. Do you know that I didn't understand the cross? I didn't even know what it meant. Honestly, let me tell you how a foolish mind works, a one that's in darkness. I didn't even understand it. All I said, you know what? He's a, you know what? What a loser. Not.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Was that my phone? I wasn't talking to you. I would look at the cross. I mean it. I would look at the cross and, I felt sorry for that guy. I didn't even like Jews because of it. That's true. I was anti-Semitic. Because all I could think of, they put him on that cross there. What are those stupid people doing? Folks, that's what the world thinks. That's what the world thinks. They don't see it. Imagine, you know what drives me insane? When I see these big movie stars or basketball players or whatever, they got tattoos on all sides and they got a big cross around their belly. You know, because that's where it hangs down and it's usually gold, right? They have no idea. They don't know what the cross is. They don't understand it. If they did, they'd never wear it like that. But that was me. I never understood the cry. I didn't understand. I never understood until just before I got saved that Jesus Christ went to the cross for me. The rest of the world got crowded out, folks. It did in my thinking. And I finally understood that something I said in the Mass all my life, that the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world took away my sin. For me. Blink. The lights came on. For me. For me. For me. For you. It's personal, isn't it? The God of the universe came down and became a man to take away your sins. You thank God that you understand that, because the world doesn't understand that. They don't see it. They don't understand. Isn't it beautiful to have your eyes open, folks? You know, the light comes on about time. I've been thinking a lot about that. You know, when I get older, you know what I found out about time? 24 hours seems like 10 minutes. Bible's very clear about time. You know, 1 Peter, it says to be sober, to be alert, because the time of the end is coming. It's near. Reebok had a commercial not long ago. It said, time is short, play hard. Pretty catchy. You know what the Bible says? Time is short, quit playing. That's what the Bible says. Quit playing, folks. Christian, quit playing. Time is short. God wants us to understand. He's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He wants to remind us, and He reminds me of this. Tony, time is short. I've got another PhD, by the way. You know what I got a PhD in? It's honorary. In obituariology. I look at obituaries all. I can't stand it. My wife can't stand it. I like it. I love looking at obituaries. I do. I read all the obituaries. So if you pass away, don't worry. I'm going to read about it. Okay? Or someone said, well, the reason I look at obituary, I make sure I'm not in there first, and then I'm having a good day, right? No, but I look, you know why? Because the obituaries, you know what? I'm actually thinking of writing a thesis on it. Because they really tell a story about people, don't they? And you know what? Here's generally, okay? Not all obituaries are like this, but it really says this. You know what? They've wasted their time. They've gone through life. Imagine going through 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years of life. And he loved the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now that's futile. Isn't it? No. You know, really, I mean, when you think of it, you know, I mean, here is their life. It's over. Time is short, and they've wasted their time. You know what, folks? I thank God. I only wasted 30 years of my life. I thank God that God called me out of darkness into His marvelous light, and I realize that this world is just the beginning. Folks, I know it's tough, right? It's tough because we have a tendency to put our roots in real deep right here, don't we? It's almost like putting all our eggs in one basket. And even as Christians, we need to be very careful about that, don't we? About putting everything into this world. And folks, listen to me. You know you? You know the real you? The real you? Not this body. This body, your body, is temporary. It's going to return to dust one way or another. You'll either get it fried down in Matheson there, right? And sent into little ashes. Or you're going to rot away to dust, folks. That's what's happening to your body. So, you know what? I'm in the healthcare field. I want you to spend some money on it. But it's temporary. You can even go see Megan if you want. To preserve it a little bit longer, perhaps. But it's going to deteriorate. Folks, it's the real you that is built for eternity. Folks, it's the real you. Your personality, your DNA, which is unlike anybody else's DNA, you have been created to live forever. And you will. Imagine putting all your eggs in the wrong basket. Putting all of your energy and putting all of your time into this world when the next world is going to last forever. Imagine that. I tell you, the vast majority of people in this world live for only this world. And they live only for this day. And I'll tell you what, folks, I feel sorry for them. Because they can't see. They can't see that there is a judgment coming. God is going to judge. God sees everything you do. God has recorded every word. And even worse than that, He's recorded every thought you have. How do you like that? I tell you what, folks. I had enough fear of God. On October the 14th in 1982, I ran to God and I pleaded with Him to have mercy on me and not to remember my sin anymore. And He did. And He settled it. And as far as the east is from the west, I will remember thy sin no more. I made peace with God. And now, because of that, not because of me, not because I'm good, as a matter of fact, I'm bad. But God, I am going to spend eternity with Him. That's settled. Folks, run to God. Come to the foot of the cross. There's room there for you. You know that? There's room there for you today. You can come in the quietness of that seat that you're sitting in today. You can make peace with God, and you had better make peace with God. I say this in a loving way to you. I mean this because I know there are people in this room, I'm sure of it, that have never trusted in Christ. You have not made peace with God. You are an enemy of God. You don't see yourself like that. But that's the way the Bible would describe it. And you need to run to Him before it's too late. I had a lady the other day. She was over at the Honda dealership in Sudbury. Everything was normal. She was looking to buy a car. In less than a split second, she fell to the ground, died. Now, the good news is there was a paramedic there. Just happened to be there. Brought her back to life. Folks, you have no idea what the future holds. You don't hold the future. God does. You need to run to Him. You need to get called out of darkness into His marvelous light. You need to make peace with God. Let Him open your eyes and open your heart to Him. Your life will never be the same. You will be given an inheritance in heaven that is undefiled, that will be kept for you. You will get a guarantee of peace with God. You'll never be at war with Him again. He will never leave you, never forsake you. He will hold you. He will carry you through your difficult times. Friend, why would you not accept an invitation like that? If you're not sure about these things, can I share something with you? You bring your questions to God. You bring your questions to God or some of His representatives here. We'd be happy to talk to you about these things. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I come before you, God, and thank you, Father, for this time. I thank you for these precious folks, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, that you sent him to the cross for me, for the world. Father, one thing I know about your heart, it even says so in the Bible, that you're not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance and the knowledge of the truth. Father, I pray this morning there might be one person here, maybe two, maybe three, I don't know. You know. Father, that would make peace, that would the light might come on, Father, in their minds, that they would understand these things. Father, I thank you again for these precious folks, my dear lovely family in Christ here in Timmins. I pray that you would encourage and bless, and Father, strengthen us today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.